At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
When it comes down to it, we have these letters that he claims that he'd sent to prosecutor Nick McClelland that were never answered, never looked into. And now I guess it's proving, did they ever make it to him? Number one, how easy is that going to be to try and find a paper trail on this? And there's also the video interview that he allegedly had done to him as well.
Well, we know that, you know, most of the video interviews were lost in this case.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that. I've always said, how in the world, it's such a mishandling of evidence to tape over top of these most important interviews related to the killing of two girls. How can you ever get to the truth? And so here we have it again. You know, where's the chain of custody on that? Was it properly handled, this video recording? Why didn't it get to the defense? It's all really concerning, but I can tell you, I think since Judge Gull is going to be the one to view this, I just think that she thinks Richard Allen is guilty. I think she thought that very early on, and it doesn't seem like she's doing anything but steer in that direction. So I don't see her taking action. I think it would happen at a higher court if it happens.
It's going to be, I mean, it's on the record now, and that's probably what this is. It's more of a procedural thing. So this is on the record. If we're expecting immediate action, gee, Judge Gull has been really good on that in terms of looking at any sort of real evidence. No. So yeah, I don't think we're going to find a whole lot there. But logistically, what can they find if they do look into this? Letters that go out of prison systems they get scanned typically. So at the very least, you would think that would be in the system unless it's been deleted. I don't know how far they keep back records, or if somebody has an interest in saying, let's never get these into the system. Let's just throw these letters away to begin with. If it got into discovery at all in the hands of McClelland, where can they go here to try and put some of these pieces together to at least initially prove they exist? Because that's going to be problem number one. And I'm sure the first thing that Delphi wants to have happen is saying, well, they don't exist. This never happened.
Yeah. The number one thing they're going to have to do is look at the records that would exist in their main files. You know, does the FBI have any evidence of this? Remember, this was early on, yeah. And the FBI was involved early on. Are there any witnesses still around? I know there are, for a matter of a fact, that might know more about this. And if he failed his polygraph, I actually really do respect the polygraphs, but I understand that they have their downfalls. Give him another polygraph with a certified FBI examiner that's very seasoned. And if he fails again with very direct and specific questions, then, you know, I think that that is worthwhile. Mm-hmm. But it's normal to polygraph more than once. I can tell you, you know, FBI agents to be FBI agents get polygraphed every 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many agents didn't pass on their first one or second one because they were nervous about something. It could have been anything from, you know, did you lie, you know, about something? And then, you know, they get caught. And I just remember one of my partners came back. He was sweating bullets. He's like, I don't even know what I'm not doing right. You know, I don't know what I'm not saying. I'm like, just get in there. Don't think, just answer truthfully. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he passed, but I'm just saying that it is not unheard of for a polygraph exam that would need to be done more than once.
Sure. And I guess, you know, he's around, he's alive still, at least for now, that you could go back. I mean, even if these letters are gone, he could still reiterate what he said in the letters. Granted, you know, Ron Logan's dead now. Keegan Klein's still alive, and he brings him up as part of these allegations in this. And Keegan Klein has always been a character who we've looked at going, how is this person not involved in this, considering he's a known pedophile and child predator who's behind bars for just that, but arrested years after this incident. Back in 2017, they were tracking him. They found him under the username Anthony Schatz, trying to have a conversation, or actually having a conversation with one of the girls, and planning to meet up the day they were murdered. But he has nothing to do with this. That's just pure luck. Pure bad luck for the child predator Keegan Klein.
Yeah, again, you know, there's certainly no proof that I've ever seen that Keegan Klein was out there. But the point is, who was in his chat rooms? Who would have known about this possible meetup? And it's just, I've always said, Richard Allen is the most unlucky guy because he just, or I'm sorry, luckiest guy as a predator, that he just happened to be at the exact right place and right time for these two girls to be there. And for him to be able to take advantage of them. I mean, it just...
With no history of any of it.
Yeah. With no history. Yeah.
What was your take on one of the accusations that Ricky Davis is making? He's claiming that Ron Logan had said to him that McClelland, and I'm paraphrasing here somewhat, is a family friend or something of that nature, and he's not going to let him basically stay in there behind bars. That was an interesting one to me. And in no way am I saying that there's some sort of connection there. I'm just saying what the claim is from Richie Davis.
Yeah, you know, that's been something that's been rumored long ago at when the FBI got out of it and all of that happened. Who was protecting Ron Logan? I did a lot of investigation that I could do with open source trying to find some connection. I never could find a connection. I still don't understand why, but that doesn't mean one didn't exist. I don't think it's ever probably been thoroughly vetted and investigated because investigators are too busy investigating crimes, not connections necessarily.
And it makes you wonder with that. I mean, if there is a connection of some sort, is it as direct as a lot of us think it is? Family friend? I mean, that really could mean anything there. What seems to me on this case, when you really dissect it and you look at some of these characters, Keegan Klein to Ron Logan, it feels to me that they didn't go after them on the Delphi case for fear of where that's going to lead them to, or who that may lead them to. Again, just pure speculation here. But if these two, as the allegation is from Ricky Davis, that they were basically part of a kind of a child porn ring and they shared their pictures or whatever they're sharing on a monthly basis, they'd get together and he had to help Ron Logan because he didn't know how to use technology and all that. That's interesting to me because it makes me wonder who else is part of this sharing of these sort of things, and you know, where would that lead to if that were looked into a little bit deeper? I think that to me is a big question in this case. Again, pure speculation, and I have no idea who it would lead to, but that's the only thing that can come to mind as to why there's always the brakes being put on some of these otherwise very despicable human beings.
Yeah, you know, it really kind of lends me to think about the Sandra Birchmore case.
Yeah.
Right? A case where a girl murdered, only it was made to look like she hung herself. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, normal law enforcement would not think, oh my gosh, this officer is going to cover all of this up because it's so outside of the lens of any decent officers. But look what happened.
Yeah.
So, and you wonder, with something like this, does it go deeper? Is there an entanglement? I can tell you that the only way I think that would ever be discovered is if the FBI opened up a public corruption investigation regarding this case, much like we've seen both on Sandra Birchmore. We saw it on Karen Reed. Karen Reed, they didn't come up with anything. Sandra Birchmore, they did. That's the only way it would ever be uncovered, in my opinion.
What will it take for the FBI to open a public corruption case on Delphi? Because they got kind of a track record going on here. It's not just this case. I'm starting to do some research and a deeper dive into some of the other cases that they've blundered over the last many a years. And there's quite a few and some really questionable things and people lying under oath. I mean, the police chief just got or just quit because of that on a different issue. Why not? What would that take to get the attention of the FBI to say, we should take a look here?
Well, you know what it would take? It would take somebody going to the FBI, submitting a complaint with some verifiable information that would support this allegation. For instance, you know, if Ricky Davis came forward and, you know, wrote the FBI, said what they did, and then if he could prove these letters somehow, which I don't know if he can,
yeah,
or submit to a polygraph and pass with flying colors, or somebody else go forward to the FBI and list particular dates and things that went on during that investigation and other things, right? That is what it would take. But you can't just open a public corruption investigation without what we call predication. Mm-hmm. So you would really need to have not only allegations, but allegations with at least some breadcrumbs as to facts that would support those.
Don't we have that, though? I mean, doesn't that not exist already with, I mean, we already have the one officer who basically got demoted when he started questioning how the investigation was going, and then he's gone. You have all the Ron Logan stuff. You have all the Keegan Klein stuff. You have all these other things that just seem to have been done inappropriately. You have the DVD information from all of the interviews that were done being lost or taped over. There just seems like a lot here that is pretty verifiable that, I mean, what, I don't know, isn't it already there? Isn't there enough to the bar to get them to do something on this?
Well, if I were a supervisor and the complaint came into my desk and I ran the PC desk, I would definitely open it up for an inquiry, a preliminary inquiry, mm-hmm, with a PI. I would open that up and assign it to an agent and have them do some, you know, looking to see if there's fire where the smoke is. Mm-hmm. But every PC supervisor, the supervisor on that desk, you know, they have their own lens. Mm-hmm. You know, is it something they're going to file away? You know, it never disappears, but are they just going to file it with no action, or are they going to sign it for a PI? So, you know, that's what it would take, Tony, specifically, is literally a line supervisor agreeing to open it.
Do you think we're going to see something like that here? What do you see for the next steps in this case, other than Judge Gull saying about this, yeah, move along?
Yeah, well, I do anticipate that, the yeah, move along. And the only other thing I could think of is, because of all the appellate issues that exist here, mm-hmm, is could it rise up to, you know, a different court, just like what happened with the Supreme Court of Indiana looking at her choice to remove his counsel. Mm-hmm. And I think if another set of eyes looks at this from the state level, you know, I think things could be revisited, at least from what, you know, we've seen. But unfortunately, because the trial was completely closed, there's so little we still know,
yeah,
just even in terms of all the evidence that convicted Richard Allen.
Yeah, it's a mystery. It's a train wreck. And it just seems to be playing out with rules that they've defined that, again, defy logic. There's elements of this that remind me of Ellen Greenberg, too, where it's just like, yeah, that's impossible what you're saying. Well, it's true. It's true. It's physically impossible. She didn't come back and become a zombie. The same with this case. Like, how are we just ignoring so many key pieces here and we just go in this direction? It baffles the mind. And it makes you wonder just how long this will take. Unfortunately, it probably will take quite a while. And there'll be many years that Richard Allen does not get of his life if he's innocent, you know, especially with his kid and with his wife. It's nuts. But all we can do is keep talking until maybe something's done.
Yep. The jury has spoken, and I always give them the utmost respect. But can a jury find truth if they don't have it all?
Exactly.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.